When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's
local and loyal programming.
Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20. Capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much.
Hi, this is Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. I'm also the host of Moms Don't Have Time to Lose Weight, and I'm the editor of the anthology, which you should run out and buy, called Moms Don't Have Time To, a quarantine anthology. All proceeds of that book go to COVID-19 vaccine research. And I'm the editor-in-chief of Moms Don't Have Time to Write, a new publication on Medium, and we're accepting submissions, so please send your personal essays there. And if all that isn't enough, you can follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens, and my website is ZibbyOwens.com. Okay, now back to this amazing podcast. Jason Mott is the author of Hell of a Book, a novel. New York Times and USA Today bestselling author Jason Mott lives in southeastern North Carolina. He has a BFA in fiction and an MFA in poetry, both from the University of North Carolina at Wilmington. His poetry and fiction has appeared in various literary journals. He was nominated for a 2009 Pushcart Prize Award, and Entertainment Weekly listed him as one of their 10 new Hollywood Next Wave people to watch. He is the author of two poetry collections, Call This Thing Between Us Love and Hide Behind Me. He's also the author of three novels, The Returned, The Wonder of All Things, and The Crossing. The Returned, Jason's debut novel, was adapted by Brad Pitt's production company Plan B in association with Brillstein Entertainment and ABC. It aired on the ABC network under the title Resurrection. Now I have to go back and watch that. Jason's fourth novel, Hell of a Book, just came out. Welcome, Jason. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to talk about Hell of a Book.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, the great thing about this book, one of the many great things, is having a protagonist who's an author going on book tour, and yet you are an author going on book tour, obviously. So you were very clever, I think, in the ways that you told
the media not to bother you in this book. So among the 8,000 other things it accomplished, I am not going to ask you what this book is about, although I love your media tip to repeat the title. And I was like, oh, okay, I should do that with my own books. Like, I don't usually do that. So, okay, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'm not going to ask you what it's about. We're just going to, like, have a conversation. What did you have for breakfast today, Jason? Like, tell me that.
What did I have? Like, a protein shake, some eggs, and bacon. So it was pretty good, simple breakfast.
Nice, okay.
What about yourself? What did you have for breakfast?
I had some of my kids' Honey Nut Cheerios.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I have a Honey Nut Cheerios. Oh, that sounds so good.
Yeah, it was actually better than my breakfast. It was fantastic. And, you know, it didn't take much time to eat, so that was good. Okay, so you have developed some of the most interesting characters here in this book. I love the pacing. I love the way they talk. I love, like, all their funny interactions. I love how you never know if the boy is real or not, and all of the mental health sort of issues. I love how you riff on the publishing process and wow. And yet incorporate, like, really important big themes in life, like race and police. And yet you package it all up in this, like, narrative. Like, you're almost tricking the reader that you're reading, like, this light, fluffy book, but it's not at all a light, fluffy book at all, you know? So anyway, yeah. Tell me about your, I don't even want to ask you any questions. Okay, so respond to that if you want to. And if you don't want to, that's fine too.
No, you're totally allowed to ask any questions you care to. Yeah, that was definitely, like, so part of the book's goal was obviously twofold. Like, I wanted to have a very serious discussion about race in America and identity and all of those very big, quote unquote, heavy topics that kind of, you know, permeate the American existence. And yet I also, at the same time, partly for my own kind of well-being, but also for the well-being of the reader, I wanted to have some fun. Like, I wanted it to be a comedy. Like, I'm someone who I don't take myself very seriously. I take my writing very seriously, but I do not take myself very seriously. So I like to laugh. And I wanted to create a space where readers could come to the page and find this absurdist farce where, like, the silliest things are happening one moment, and then literally the next page over, you've got really heavy, dramatic, you know, powerful moments that are occurring as well. And that pendulum swing between the two was part of the kind of the technical challenge for writing this. And it was a lot of the fun as well, because I like to laugh, and, like, I got to laugh during the writing process. And I think readers are laughing during the reading, and that's actually what I wanted. So that's really good.
Yeah. I mean, you start off right away with us. How can you not laugh at, like, a naked man in a hotel lobby, like, trying to get a key and then not having his driver's license? And, like, so you set the tone great. But then, you know, we go through all of this intense sadness later when you see what happens. And, like, parts of it, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I couldn't believe, like, you saw it coming. And anyway, that, you know, so it takes you on, like, a wild ride, basically. I think my favorite character was the limo driver. He was so great. Like, tell me, I mean, so tell me about, like, inventing that character. You're just sitting in your office. Tell me about, like, coming up with him. And are you chuckling? Like, tell me about that.
Yeah, it's funny, like, he's a character who stole the show for so many people. He's a character that when I wrote the character, I definitely enjoyed writing it, but I didn't expect it to be this character that so many people kind of connected with in such a strong way. But it was funny when I said the manuscript to my agent, she immediately was like, I love Rennie so much. I love this character. I love him so much. And so he came about just because when I was on book tour for The Return, you know, almost 10 years ago now, it really, like, a lot of the craziness in the hell of a book, like, is patterned after that. Like, it was a really whirlwind, surreal, bizarre, frenetic experience. And I wanted to kind of capture that. And one component would happen is you would land in a new city, and then we had this limo driver. Like, I don't know what it was called, media escort. And they would take you from bookstore to bookstore and all those kinds of places because they knew the town better than anyone else. And so I wanted to kind of combine a few really positive, because there were some crazy media escorts I had, and there were some really cool people. So I took the best parts from those really wonderful media escorts I had, people who really helped me kind of get through the book tour, and I rolled them up into Rennie's character. And I patterned him after an actor named James Hahn, he's an Asian American actor. He's been in, you know, film for decades now, and he's really become one of those people, one of those actors whose body of work has kind of been the background of my life. Like, he's been in so many movies that I love and so many parts of my existence growing up that I wanted to kind of pay an homage to him as an actor. So I patterned the character after him a little bit. And then, so that's where Rennie the driver came from. And he's become a sudden star of the show. It's totally unexpected.
Oh, I thought I was so unique. Well, forget that. All right. so much for my original interpretation. I wanted to just read this one paragraph because I thought it was so interesting in this whole theme of being seen and invisibility and who
has the gaze, if you, you know, there's this whole like male gaze and anyway, multi-layered, or maybe it's just luck. I don't know. I think you meant it. Okay. You say, so you're some new kind of superhero, I guess, the invisible kid here to save the invisible day. Yeah, the boy says brightly. I never really thought about it like that, but I think that's pretty dope. Like I can be here one moment and then not here the next whenever I want. Nobody can see or hear or even touch me if I don't want them to. Something akin to pride creeps into his voice, but it's a hollow sort of pride. It's the pride of someone who's rarely proud of anything. It's the type of pride that can be knocked over with a feather, and so it rarely gets to shine in the face of the world. The little black kid flashes those impossibly white teeth at me, and he laughs, and then he covers his smile and quells the laughter like Miss Seeley used to do, and I know that he spent his entire life being afraid to be happy. I'm sorry, kid, I say, leaning back. What are you sorry for? The kid asks. For whatever trauma of mine led you here, I reply. And before I know it, everything and all of it hits, and I'm asleep. Oh, I love that passage. Well, tell me a little more about that and this whole notion of, you know, from the beginning, this boy who feels like his main superpower is to not be seen and to try to avoid pain, essentially, which he can't escape from, whether or not he's real or figment or whatever.
So a lot of that kind of component of the visibility, you know, seen and unseen, some of that actually does come from my personal experience. Like as much as I may seem like a very gregarious, outgoing person, I'm actually a hardcore introvert. I really shy away from attention. I always have. And so growing up, you know, I was the kid who wanted to just kind of tuck away and not be seen. I wanted to sit away and read books and just not interact with people. I always kind of felt a little bit insecure and nervous and all those kinds of typical feelings that you have a lot of time. And that's something that still carries forward a little bit today. Like even as an adult and, you know, having written a few things, like I still want to disappear. Like I still very much the spotlight and attention always kind of unnerves me a bit. And so I decided for this novel to kind of really lean on that and play into like kind of explore it for myself, but also really make that a part of the storytelling. Cause I think it's a feeling that a lot of people actually have. It's like there's safety in not being seen, and the ability to decide when you are seen and when you aren't is something that, you know, I think all of us can kind of relate to. Like there have always been moments in our lives when we wish we could just disappear. Like something really embarrassing happened or something, whatever happened. You're like, oh, I wish I could just disappear from this. So I wanted to kind of use that from a personal standpoint, but also like kind of implement some social commentary. Like parents, I think one of the things that they, particularly Black parents, they worry about their children so much, interacting with police, interacting just with America in general. And that ability to disappear would be just the most amazing gift that a parent could have for a child. And so that's where that kind of all came from.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, this is so exciting. So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on?
Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
That's really heartbreaking. You know, that's the gift that you would want to bestow on your children. You know, I mean, that's just, heartbreaking.
Yeah, I think it's a kind of true thing. Like, there is this thing that you're oftentimes taught, at least I was taught, and I know many other kind of Black males in particular that were taught, it's like, you don't want to stand out too much because you're always kind of being noticed to a certain degree. And so you have to learn when you can and when you can't kind of be in the spotlight and be seen. So like I said, so much of the story was kind of taking that social construct and really stretching it out to this big metaphor. And hopefully readers are kind of responding to that.
Okay. See, I thought you meant to do that.
I totally meant to.
Okay, good. No, I was also, I don't know if I'm an introvert or just, I used to be super, super shy. I think I'm a little of both, but there were times when I wanted to talk. It sounds like you didn't maybe want to talk. You wanted to just hide. I wanted to talk, but I just felt like I couldn't talk because I was so shy. So there were times where I was like, can anybody actually see? Maybe I'm not here, you know, because like no one would be talking to me because I wouldn't be talking. And I was like, anyway, it just really makes you question like all of the social dynamics, right? You know, and what does it mean to be here? And like, do I have to talk? And what does it mean that I'm not talking? And I don't know, all of that mess. You brought back my whole like seventh grade. So
good. It was meant to bring that back. I can relate to those. I've definitely been the guy who like wanted to say things, but then didn't for, you know, shy, introvert, insecure, what you want to call it. So I could definitely relate to that. I'm the guy who like, we used to, in college, we would have parties and I would go and like, I would always just disappear without telling anyone I was leaving. So like, they began to call it like the Jason escape, where like the party would just be happening and then someone would turn around and I wasn't there anymore. Like that was so much of what a thing I did.
I still do that. I did that at my own 40th birthday party. I was like, because I also can't like take too much. Like I just like can't take too much. I get to a point where I'm like, okay, I'm starting to shut down. I can't be in this big social setting anymore. Yes. And I just am like, I'm out. And I can't like wait five more minutes. It's like, probably the people I've been married to don't really appreciate it. So I'm like, we have to go right now. What? Why?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. I know that so well. My whole 40th birthday, I just like, I was like, this is too much. And now I need to go home and go to bed. And I just walked out. Yep. And everybody later was like, it's your party. Where'd you go?
I could totally respect that. That's awesome.
Yeah. I try not to do it. But then it's like, I feel like I'm always ready to leave too early. And then I'm going to offend people.
Yes.
And then they're going to convince me to stay. And I don't know. It's like a whole thing. But yeah.
Yeah. It definitely is. Cause like, I know in my experience in particular, like, it's not that you have any personal issue with it. Like, you love the people you're with, but there reaches this point of just kind of critical mass where it's like, I've been socialized too much and I have to go.
Yeah.
So I totally get it.
Gosh. I like never even talk about that really. But yeah. Well, it's nice to know that I'm not the only one, I guess, who reaches that point.
Not at all.
I'll be thinking of you next time I sort of skulk away quietly from a party and I'll be like, I'm pulling a Jason Mott here.
I like that.
Oh my gosh. So are you working on a new book now that Hell of a Book is, you know, taking the world by storm, or are you taking a little time to just do all this publicity?
Both. Actually both. Like, publicity is definitely a big part of things right now, but the, you know, that period only lasts for like maybe a month and a half. And so I'm also working on a new project and trying to figure out what it is. So much of writing at this point is just kind of like putting the words out and not really knowing where it's going or what it's actually going to be about. So yeah, I'm definitely working on a new novel. I try to stay. It takes me about a year and a half to 2 years to write a novel. So I'm always kind of trying to be ahead of the curve as much as possible. So definitely working on some new stuff. Can't really say what it's about yet because I honestly don't know what it's about yet. But it's definitely something to work on.
So how do you regroup and get your energy back to do all the interviews and everything?
I hide a lot. So after like a day of interviews, I will just go home and turn on a movie that I've seen 1,000 times before and just kind of like let it watch me instead of me watching it. I play a lot of video games. I go exercise with friends. I do Brazilian jiu-jitsu, which is fun. I just try to do anything removed from writing as possible. There reaches a point where like I've talked about writing and I've done writing so much for that day that like I'm a big movie buff. So I'll just go watch movies or play video games or whatever. Just anything apart from words. That's kind of where I try to do it.
What video games do you play? Maybe I'll hook you up with my son. He's 14. It's like all he wants to do.
I play pretty much everything. Like, I'm a big fan of like fighting games, so I play like Street Fighter and things like that. And there's a game called like Dark Souls, which is like really difficult. I play that a lot. Yeah, I got a PlayStation. I'll just turn it on and find something to play and have fun.
Wow. Well, my son is like in the stage where, you know, I come in and he's like talking to these people and I'm like, who are you talking to? And he's like, oh, my friend from the video game. I'm like, you are talking to strangers like around the, like, this is not good. He's like, no, we've been talking for like a year. And I'm like, still not good. Still not good.
No. I'm going to defend your son here. I'm going to tell you, like, totally let it happen. Like, there is a beautiful online community because, you know, games used to be, you know, your friends came over, you did it in your house. And all that's happened is that shifted to online. And don't get me wrong, there are some weirdos out there for sure. But there are they vastly are outnumbered by the number of people that you meet who just like love the game and they want to talk about the game. They become your teammates and your friends.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I've got a couple of friends who people I've never met in real life. They live in entirely different parts of the country and we only meet through video games. So
yeah, that's what he says.
Yeah, it's really fascinating.
Mind you, I spend my whole day in my room talking to strangers on the internet. I mean, seriously, who am I to talk? I mean,
exactly.
Right? I'm like, you know, I share my innermost feelings with strangers every single day. And I'm like, oh no, watch out with the video games, you know?
Exactly.
So, okay, fine. I'll let it happen, I guess.
I also get your point of view though. Like strangers talking to your kids is always terrifying. So I get that as well.
Yeah. But I mean, he seems pretty sure of himself. So yeah. And it's also like, I don't know, all these levels, it identifies you somehow, right? He's like a bronze in this game. And like,
yep.
I'm like, well, do you want to meet this kid? I'm like at a party with this kid or something. He's like, well, is he a silver or bronze in blah, blah, blah game? And I'm like, excuse me, are you a bronze or a silver? You know, it's so.
Exactly. You got to show your credentials. You got to show your credentials if you're going to hang out.
Yes,
I totally get that.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
That's wonderful.
Excellent. And do you ever read to regroup? Like, what do you like to read?
Yes, I do like to read. I oftentimes read books that I've read before, which is, I think a kind of a bad habit because I don't read as many new books as I should. But so much of my reading is trying to study writing craft. And so like there are certain authors that I just reread their works a lot. But I do have a few new books that I'm reading. Like right now I'm reading a graphic novel by one of my favorite comic book authors named Barry Windsor Smith. And it is mind-blowingly good. Like I am so blown away by it. It's taking me like 3 weeks to read it because I'm trying to go through it very slowly. Because he's one of those creators who he does not produce very often. Like he hasn't had a new piece of work in almost 10 years. And so there may be another 10 years or so before he produces another one. So I'm just trying to take my time as much as possible. But yeah, like I said, I read a lot of old stuff. I'm a big fan of John Gardner and William Golding. So I reread a lot of their works. Dalton Trumbo, I read a lot of his stuff. Hunter S. Thompson. I just finished reading about a month ago. I read Matteo Ascaripor's Black Buck, which is really wonderful. He's a great guy. Him and I are doing a thing later today. So yeah, I try to read. I don't read as much as I think I should because I spend so much time writing that I just get burned out on words. Like I really do. And so at the end of the day, I don't want any words. I want just images usually. So
I don't think there's an amount you're supposed to read. Again, with my son, you two could like, you know, swap graphic novels here at this point. But no, I feel this like I don't like stop podcasting and go listen to a podcast. You know what I mean? I'm like,
right,
okay, I'm out.
Right. Yes. It's funny because I always feel like there's this pressure or expectation as a writer that like you're supposed to be reading just all the time and have like 30,000 books you've read and you can name off at a second. And it's like, it's usually not the case because again, like I spend so much, so a good 6 hours of my day is spent writing, you know, working with words. So after doing that for like 6 hours straight, I kind of don't want words anymore.
I totally understand that. Yes. Everybody reaches a saturation point and it's totally fine.
Yes, exactly.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I feel like maybe now I'll connect you with my son over email and you two can play.
Sounds good.
Cool, dude. But thank you so much. I mean, I know I've been sort of like light and flippant. This, not flippant, but you know, the book has real depth and serious issues that are so important. And I don't mean to minimize that by sort of this, you know, lighthearted conversation. So I hope you didn't take it that way. But anyway, it was great. I'm so glad I read it. I'm so happy for all your success. And I hope it all continues and that you get enough downtime.
Thank you very much. Now, this was a terrific interview. Like I enjoy laughter. So like this was a fun interview for me. So I'm really glad. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. All right. Well, have a great day.
Thanks. Take care.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books.
Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.